All right, let's get into this message today, and I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to speak on the subject, a happy marriage. A happy marriage. And I'd like to hear from you, pro or con. Last week, I brought a message on Christ, our peace. And this message I'm bringing today will be on that same tape. I'd like for you to have both of them. But now you listen to the message, and you'll decide whether you want it or not. And at the end, the announcer will tell you how to get this message on tape. But here's my text, Ephesians 5, verse 22 through 25. Ephesians 5, it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And then he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, in speaking from the Word of God on the subject of happy marriage, the very first point I must establish is this: to whom am I speaking? To whom am I speaking? Not indiscriminately to everybody. I'm preaching primarily to people who believe the Bible. You'd have a hard time proving anything to a man from the Bible who does not believe the Bible. So I'm preaching today primarily to people who believe the Word of God and who love the Lord Jesus Christ and who care what he says. Those are the people I'm speaking. I'm not saying now that the laws of marriage do not apply to unbelievers. They do. Do you get that? I'm not saying that the laws of marriage do not apply to an unbeliever. They do. But how can a minister appeal to a person on the basis of Scripture if that person does not believe and love the Scriptures? Notice in the text, "Wives, obey your husbands," or "submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord." That's assuming that she knows the Lord. That's assuming she cares what the Lord says. That's assuming she is conscious of the Lord's Word, as unto the Lord. And then it says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." That means nothing to an unsaved man. He doesn't know anything about Christ or the church. Nor does he care whether Christ loved the church. So I can't help you in this important marriage of a happy, important sermon on a happy marriage, if you don't endorse the principles of Scripture, if you do not seek the glory of God, and if you do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm speaking primarily to people who say that they believe the Bible and who profess to love the Redeemer. Now, some of you are not married yet. Some of you are still single. Perhaps my message will impress upon you the seriousness of marriage. Perhaps my message will teach you the responsibilities of marriage. You see, marriage is a oneness. The two shall be one flesh, Christ said. Marriage is a partnership. Marriage is a living together in faith and in fellowship with Christ. That's what marriage is. So it may be some young person who's contemplating marriage will listen to this message and be helped. And now listen to this. Come on, now listen right here. Some of you, perhaps many of you, because of the day in which we're living, some of you are divorced and remarried. Divorced and remarried. And the Lord has been pleased to bring you to a knowledge of Himself. He's been pleased to save you and or your wife, bring you to a knowledge of Christ. Well, what shall we do? Well, I tell you, forget the past. Forget the past. God has. And build for the present and the future. You're not responsible, if you're converted, to go back and straighten out the past and mess up two or three families. You're not responsible to go back and straighten out the past any more than a murderer who is saved is required to raise his dead victim. Man who's killed someone, God saved him. He doesn't have to go back and raise the victim from the dead. And whatever's back yonder, leave it back yonder. leave it alone and go on from here and build your home. Now, some of you are married and you don't have a happy marriage. Maybe I can help you. Well, let's start here. Here's a solemn and necessary word. Now, listen to me. Here, home is where true religion is tested and revealed. Home is where true faith is tested the most. And that's where it's revealed. I wouldn't give you 2 cents for a public profession of religion or faith that does not show love and tenderness at home. I wouldn't give you 2 cents. I wouldn't give you any hope. The man who is so gracious and kind at church to everybody else and so hateful at home, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for his profession of faith or his so-called religion. True religion is tested and revealed at home. A man or a woman that does not show kindness and gentleness and compassion at home, what good is their religion on the streets or in the church? If my wife and children and grandchildren do not see Christ in me, what profit is it if you see Christ in me and you only see me once a week? If my wife and children do not have respect for my profession of faith, then it's not worth a plug nickel. If my wife and children do not have confidence in my relationship with God, I've missed Christ. You see, that's where the mask is removed at home. We can wear our mask in public, pretense, hypocrisy. But when we get home, that's where the mask comes off. You can impress the preacher. You can impress the people at church with your faith. You can put on a good show down at the meeting house, but the wise man is more concerned for the glory of God and a good testimony at home before his family and children than he is down there at the church house. They really know him. They really know him. And that's where it's revealed. Somebody said to John Newton one time, Brother Smith is a great professor of religion, a great public prayer and teacher and all. You believe he's really saved? John Newton said, well, I really don't know. I've never lived with him. See, that's where it's revealed. Those that live with you. And then that's the serious, solemn point that I would make. A genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed in the home. And that's where it is. That's where the mask comes off. That's where the rubber hits the road, some preacher said. That's where true revelation of myself is judged. And then secondly, marriage begins with certain vows. In other words, I've married a lot of people in these 30-some-odd years. And they stand before me, and a question I ask them, turn to the man and to the woman. I say, do you take Mary or John or whoever to be your lawful wedded husband or wife? And do you promise in the sight of Almighty God and these witnesses that you'll be to her, to him, a true and devoted wife or husband, to love and to cherish and to remain faithful till death shall part you? And they say, I do. I do. Now, you may take these vows lightly, but God doesn't. Did you know that? God doesn't. These are solemn vows that we're taking upon ourselves in the presence of God. That's what the preacher says. That's right. The book of Numbers, chapter 30, verse 2 says this, if a man vow a vow unto the Lord, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Solomon said, it's better that thou shouldest not vow at all than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. God is a witness to every marriage ceremony, and he'll be a witness to the violation of every vow. So it's a pretty serious thing to put away your wife or put away your husband. I'm talking about people who know the Lord now. I'm talking about people who claim to be saved. You're playing with dynamite. That's exactly right. You've made some vows. And you're under a solemn responsibility to keep that vow before God. And you can't change that. And then, thirdly, marriage has certain Bible guidelines and certain duties and responsibilities. Serious responsibilities and duties. A man takes a wife. The Bible says something about the duties and responsibilities of a husband in the home and a wife and children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Bible has something to say about you men that work at the plants and other places, about being a good workman and giving a full day's work and doing your best to promote the business that hired you. It's got something to say to you men who work men, to pay them a decent wage and withhold not from the labor of his hire. It's got something to say about these things. It's got something to say about stealing down there where you work too. It's got some things to say about that. It has a lot to say about things like that. A man takes a wife, and Scripture says he's to love her and prefer her and defend her above all. That's what he said, Genesis 2:24. And this was before the fall, even. This was before Adam and Eve sinned. God said, talking about Adam and Eve, husband and wife, he said, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. I've known a lot of men who caused a lot of trouble in their home because they're mama's boys. You know, they can't cut the apron strings or the cord from mama. They defend their mama against their wives or their daddy against their wives and all this sort of thing. Your wife is the one you're to love and honor and cherish and defend and protect and watch over and stand with her. I've known women to cause a lot of trouble in their home defending the children against the husband. That's dangerous. You husbands and wives, stand with each other. Stand with each other. Defend one another against the whole world if necessary. Don't you side with mama and daddy. Your mother has a conflict with your wife. You stand with your wife. He is to love her and not be bitter or harsh. Bitter. Colossians 3:19 says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter, caustic, harsh with your wife. Be gentle. Love your wife. He's to treat her as a weaker vessel, dependent. I know women today don't particularly like this, but so anyway. He says, dependent on his care and protection and provision. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Give honor to her as the weaker vessel, that your prayers be not hindered. He's to provide for her. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, listen to this. If any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You want me to read that one again? Provide for your household. Provide for your wife. Provide for your children. If any man provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith. And he's worse than an infidel. Men who waste their substance on foolishness, instead of providing for their wives and children, giving them the things that they need. Well, a woman takes a husband. Her husband is her head. I'm not bashful or shy or backward about declaring what God says about this. The husband is the head of the woman. That's what God says. Same Bible that says Jesus Christ is the Son of God and Jesus Christ died for our sins and He's the way, the truth, and the life, and you must be born again, and the only way to God is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, says the husband is the head of the house. That's what it says. He's the leader. God said to Eve when she sinned, He said, your desire will be your husband and he shall rule over thee. Marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. The husband rules the home. He doesn't rule by law or a stick. He rules with love. But he rules the home. He's the head of that house. He's the spiritual leader of that house. Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And as the church is subject to Christ in all things, let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. In everything. My friends, one of the highest callings in the world, dear ladies, listen to me, one of the highest callings in this world, women talk about their careers, you know, and all this stuff. One of the highest callings in this world is to be a good mother and a sweet and gracious and kind and lovable companion, and to build a home for the glory of God and a good helpmeet and companion for a good husband. That's one of the highest callings in this world, next to the office of preaching the gospel. Women are not competitors, they're companions. Women are foolish to try to act like men or dress like men or work like men or live like men. They're not men. They're women. Keepers at home, training their children. Some women, their babysitters know their children better than they do. And everybody in the world has more influence over their children than they do. I don't know why. You know, a lot of times, be on some kind of television program, they ask a dear lady, well, what do you do? She said, I'm a housewife. Oh, that's what God made her to be. That's what God raised her up to be. That's our highest calling in this world, to be what God made you to be for His glory. To be a good wife and a mother, to give life to some child and oversee it and watch over it and pray for it and instruct it and train it and help it and care for it. My, why would you want a higher calling? There ain't none. There just is none. Most important person in the home. I said the husband's the head of the home. I know that. He's the leader. But the wife is the most important part of that home. The proper motivation in the marriage relationship is not duty, though, it's love. I can talk about duties and responsibilities and all these things forever. That's not it. It's love. The whole law of God is fulfilled in one word, love. And right here is where every duty's met, to love one another. Right here is where every problem solved, to love one another. Right here is when every relationship comes into its proper perspective, if we love one another. Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. No sacrifice too great for love. Love gives and forgives. Love reaches out and love receives graciously. Love honors and respects. Love speaks kindly and considerately. Love remembers. And love is grateful. And love never fails. I heard a woman say one time about a man. Said, well, he loves in his own way. But it's time he quit loving in his own way and started loving God's way. Love is the gift of God. And really, marriage is not so much finding the right person as being the right person. I've had people say, well, I love my wife, but I don't like her. Or I love my husband, but I just don't like him. I love him now. I don't misunderstand him. I just don't like to be around him. Is that possible? Yes. Did I shock you? Well, it is possible. Because we can have habits and ways and attitudes that are offensive, that offend people. And while people love us, they just don't enjoy our company. That's right. Just because you're married doesn't mean you enjoy somebody's company. Take, for example, there's Mr. Grouchy. Everybody has to be careful around him. He's always mad at somebody. You have to be careful not to offend him. He's always upset. What he wants, everybody else has to do, you know. He's got to have his way. Well, you may love Mr. Grouchy, but you sure don't enjoy his company. And you like to avoid him. And then somebody said, it's Mr. Sloppy. In public, he's neat and careful about his appearance, but at home, he just liable to be found anyway. careless, unshaven, sloppy. I read something one time that impressed me. Someone said, well, cleanliness may not be next to godliness, but I prefer it next to me. Somebody said one time also, water and soap will do wonders for a marriage. Mr. Sloppy, you may love him, but you just don't enjoy him. And then there's Mr. Stingy. He says, it's my money and my car and my house. He has the first nickel he ever made. Or he may spend it on himself, but never on his family or on his wife. She never has a dime in her purse or her pocketbook. She never can just go out and buy something that she happens to see that she wants, even though they may afford it, because Mr. Stingy, it's his money. He says, I make it, I earn it. I go out and bring home the bacon, you fry it, you know. Well, you may love that fella, but he's sure not very enjoyable to be around. You'd sure trade him in on another model, a lot of people would. These are true things. Now, I know what I'm talking about. But then there's Miss Charget. Mrs. Charget. She keeps her poor husband in debt to every store in town. Keeps his nose to the grindstone. She has a charge plate on every store in town. And the poor man stays right up against it week after week, month after month, so heavily in debt he can't see the light of day. All he can do is work and moonlight and get some other job to pay that woman's bill. That's hard to like. Awful hard to like. Learn to live in your means. Be generous with what you have, but live in your means. Live on what God provides. That's His providence. That's His good providence. Well, there's Mr. and Mrs. Put Others Down. Have you ever met them? Man calls his wife, my old lady. That's not very complimentary, is it? Or a wife calls her husband, the old man. I've actually heard women berate their husbands in public. Make them feel awfully bad. Just say harsh and cruel things in public. That's not respectful and that's not grace. This is the reason I'm saying, my dear friends, that true faith and true religion is revealed in the home. Not just in a church building where everybody's singing, oh, how I love Jesus, and everybody's praying and reading the Scripture and putting on a good front and a good show. I'm talking about at home. I'm talking about in the living room, in the bedroom, in the den. I'm talking about in the kitchen. I'm talking about day by day, right down living. And living in such a way that it gives an evidence that you've met Christ and you're a new creature in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And he'll be a better husband. He'll be a better father. He'll be a better worker. If a woman's in Christ, she'll be a good wife. A submissive wife. And a good mother. And a good neighbor. And if she's not, she's missed Christ. Mr. and Mrs. Put Me Down. Did you ever hear a husband or wife talk about one another in critical terms? Critical. I feel like one man said to his wife one time in my presence, he said, well, honey, he said, I may not be the smartest fellow on earth, but you don't need to remind me of it. That's sad, isn't it? He said, I need encouragement. I need help. I'm doing the best I can. I heard another man say one time when he was being compared to another man that had a better job, made more money, drove a bigger car, bigger house. But he said, I may not be as successful as some people, but I need your encouragement. I need your help because I'm trying. I'm trying. Can't you find some good points? Find some good points. And praise one another. And be grateful to one another. How many of you get up on the table and ever say, thank you, honey, for that meal? I appreciate it. It was good. I appreciate it. You do when you're eating. Like, this house. Help one another. Assist one another. Yelling in Mr. Powder. Oh, he's a tough one now. He'll give you the side of it. You know what he's mad about, but he won't speak. He's not going to speak. He's going to pout. He's going to ignore you. Or she is going to ignore you. Stick their bottom lips out and pout. This is cruel. That's cruel. Mr. Powder, get even, you say. Is that faith? Is that grace? Is that Christ? Is that the example of the Son of God? Here's another one I ran into one time. I ran into Mr. I didn't marry your family.
didn't like her mother. He didn't like her father. He didn't like her brother. He didn't like her sister. I didn't marry you, family, he said. Well, you did. But they're still her family. She still loves him. And they're still his family. He still loves her. Still honor your father and mother. That means honor your father and mother-in-law, too. There, your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Not in these days, a touchy thing, but I'm dealing. You see, I've been a preacher a long time. I've been at home, dealt with people. What I'm interested in sinners coming into Christ. Christ, not just to walk in an aisle and shake your hand and join in the church and make the profession. I want you to know Christ. If you need Him, it'll change your home, change your heart, and your home, change your attitude, change your spirit, change your outlook, make you a new creature. And you're born grace and in the knowledge of Christ. If you ain't growing, you're dead. You're not making some progress, you're dead. Have you met Mr. Apgott? He forgets birthdays. He forgets anniversaries. He forgets Mother's Day. He forgets Christmas. He forgets everything. But he didn't when you were dating. But he just forgets. Have you met Mr. Take You For Granted? He's the one that cries the loudest at the funeral. Why not a kind word now? Take you for granted. But boy, when she's gone, he sure makes a lot of noise. Or when he's gone, she makes a lot of noise. But right now, just take them for granted. Let's try to build our homes on the Word of God for the glory of Christ. If you want this tape, A Happy Marriage, you write to me. On the back of it is Christ Our Peace. Maybe it'll help. If it helps one person, I'm glad I preached it. You write to me. The address is given to you right now in just a moment, right on your television screen. Send $2 and we'll mail you the tape. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.